Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is March 9, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Perk Labs signs agreement with Alipay. Ghana's Payment Systems Advisory Committee to offer guidance on payment system. Grab Pay top-ups are no longer rewarded. Vietnam's e-commerce market to surpass $17 billion in 2023. Nike, Macy's trial blockchain to share product data across the retail supply chain. Contour emerges as latest blockchain trade finance tool. FBI details evolving sophistication of BEC scammers. APIs put velocity in business payments. Banking as a service takes on the underbanked SMB. Now let's get started. Perk Labs signs agreement with Alipay. Perk Labs, or the company, the parent company of Perk Hero, has announced that Perk Hero signed an agreement with Alipay. Via this collaboration, the all-in-one mobile ordering, payment, and customer loyalty platform aims to enable Alipay users to make payments on the company's payment platform and will be harmonizing its QR codes to allow Alipay payment at Perk Hero merchants. As per Perk Labs, this arrangement will appeal to Chinese visitors who would like to use Alipay as their preferred payment method while traveling and living abroad. Merchants will be better positioned to benefit from a new base of Alipay users. Ghana's Payment Systems Advisory Committee to offer guidance on payment system. Ghana has gotten its first Payment Systems Advisory Committee to guide the Bank of Ghana on regulation and oversight, operational and technical stands of the payment systems. As per Peace FM Online, this initiative takes into account any matter affecting payment services clearing and settlement of payments. The advisory committee will harness the expertise of stakeholders through the establishment of working groups on the various thematic areas of the payment system's operations. The governor of Bank of Ghana, BOG, said the payment system infrastructure had witnessed rapid transformation over the last 20 years with the establishment of the Ghana Interbank Payment and Settlement Systems, GHIPSS, with a mandate to oversee all interbank payment and processing activities. Moreover, another achievement within Ghana's payment ecosystem was the implementation of the Mobile Money Interoperability System, which enabled seamless funds transfer across platforms of electronic money issuers, on one hand, and between mobile money ecosystem and bank accounts on the other. Grab Pay top-ups are no longer rewarded. Banks in Singapore have started to cancel credit cards rewards for users when they top up GrabPay, Grab's mobile wallet. Since October 2019, OCBC MasterCard credit cards no longer allow rebates for top-ups to the mobile wallet, GrabPay. DBS, UOB, OCBC, and Bank of China are amongst banks that have recently adopted the same movement. It is mentioned that not all GrabPay top-up transactions were actively excluded by the banks, some being due to a change in merchant category code, MCC. Given the fact that rebates and rewards are typically awarded based on MCCs, when it was changed by Amex and MasterCard in December 2019, a few cards instantly stopped awarding points or cashback for that transaction. Other mobile wallets, such as Singtel Dash and Utrip, have gotten the same treatment from banks. The cause may be the fact that rebates and rewards are usually funded by the bank, and sometimes co-funded by merchants whom they partner. Hence, it does not work in the bank's favor to give bonus points for GrabPay top-ups if users are using their GrabPay cards instead of credit cards for daily spending to maximize rewards. Vietnam's e-commerce market to surpass $17 billion United States dollars in 2023. The Vietnamese e-commerce market is projected to grow at a compound annual growth rate (CAGR) of 16.3% from $9.4 billion United States dollars in 2019 to $17.3 billion United States dollars in 2023, according to Global Data. Global Data's report states that the country's e-commerce market has doubled during the past 5 years, with total online spending increasing from $3.9 billion United States dollars in 2015 to $9.4 billion United States dollars in 2019. According to Global Data's 2019 Banking and Payments Survey, cash is still the most preferred payment mode for e-commerce purchases in Vietnam, accounting for 35.6% in 2019. Alternative payment solutions are gradually gaining ground and accounted for 15.5% share. Momo is the most preferred alternative payment solution in Vietnam, followed by PayPal. Strong growth has prompted global companies to invest in Vietnamese e-commerce companies. In 2018, e-commerce company Tiki received $5.3 million United States dollars and $44 million United States dollars funding from VNG Corporation and Chinese investor JD.com, respectively. In the same year, another company, Sendo, secured $51 million United States dollars from SBI Group, a Japan-based financial services company, and other investors. Furthermore, Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba invested an additional $2 billion United States dollars in Lazada, a large e-commerce company in the country. Nike, Macy's trial blockchain to share product data across the retail supply chain. Nike, Macy's have tested blockchain technology to better share product data across the retail supply chain, according to a white paper Auburn University's RFID lab. The study, named the Chain Integration Project, CHIP, saw the retailers and others run Hyperledger Fabric nodes on a slice of their large supply chains. The blockchain tech enabled sharing serialized data after following tens of thousands of products as they moved between distribution centers. Furthermore, RFID Lab is one of the most prominent outposts for U.S. retailers' experiments with emerging supply chain tech, according to CoinDesk. So far, many retailers have tested radio frequency identification (RFID) tags to keep the inventory up to date. However, different retailers' tags store data differently and there's little to no data interoperability. That gave the RFID lab two opportunities: build retailers a common language and build them a platform. The proof of concept ultimately saw thousands of products matched across its nodes. In total, 222,974 items were written onto the blockchain, according to the study. It needs to take on more, though, if it is to go mainstream. RFID Lab will now take its blockchain study to a consultancy phase of sorts, trying to understand just how much value DLT and RFID data sharing systems can offer the businesses. Contour emerges as latest blockchain trade finance tool. 8 banks including HSBC and Standard Chartered are ready to launch the Contour blockchain trade finance platform in Hong Kong, reports indicated on Thursday, March 5. The other 6 banks include CTBC Holding, Ing, Bangkok Bank, BNP Paribas, SEB and Citi. Last October, Singapore launched its first blockchain-based trade finance platform. The commercial launch is anticipated during the second half of 2020, after the platform finished in excess of $30 million in letter of credit transactions last year during the pilot phase. Letters of credit using blockchain have facilitated commercial trades amongst companies, even as the new coronavirus epidemic disrupts trade, Ajay Sharma, HSBC's regional head of global trade and receivables finance for Asia-Pacific, told the South China Morning Post. Sharma added, "Leveraging blockchain for trade finance has overcome the physical constraints we are having today." China has widely adopted blockchain-backed trade finance, with roughly 170 Chinese banks having joined the blockchain platform spearheaded by the State Administration of Foreign Exchange to provide trade finance to their clients, according to data from the People's Bank of China. In cross-border trade, trust has historically been a critical part of the equation. Corporate buyers must trust that their suppliers will deliver what they promised. Vendors, meanwhile, must trust that their customers will pay on time. And the banks that finance these transactions must trust their business partners. Of course, participants in the global trading ecosystem won't simply take each other's word for it. High volumes of trade documents are key to verifying purchases, payments, deliveries and more, but paper and manual data checks severely hamper transparency and accuracy. Lee Tyrone, CEO and founder of trade finance and payments platform Envoy, says a lack of trust continues to hamper the industry's ability to address the ongoing $1.5 trillion yearly trade finance gap, with paper as a massive culprit in limiting access to trade finance. FBI details evolving sophistication of BEC scammers. The FBI has once again sounded the alarm on the proliferation of digital fraud like ransomware and the business email compromise BEC scam, releasing new stats on the financial damage such criminal activity has caused in the U.S. in recent years. The continually surging danger of cyberattacks can be attributed to the ever-evolving nature of these criminals, the FBI recently told the Wall Street Journal, pointing to the steady climb of financial losses related to the BEC scam. Now, the actors involved are a lot more sophisticated and share intelligence and organized networks, said Michael Driscoll, who is the special agent in charge of cyber and counterintelligence at the FBI's New York unit. Offering an example of the evolving sophistication, the FBI pointed to new spins on the BEC, with one of the most recent involving scammers not mimicking suppliers or corporate executives, but a company's own CEO to steal funds from the payroll department. In another iteration, DLA Piper law firm partner Edward McAndrew told the publication that criminals will hack into a company's email server and identify which executives' email addresses they can spoof to trick unsuspecting employees. This is no longer a situation where some person who wasn't paying close attention got duped, he said. Below, PYMNTS breaks down the data behind the latest stories in B2B payments fraud, including cyberattacks, the business email compromise, invoice fraud and more. Three individuals were arrested in India for an invoice fraud scam, according to CNBC TV reports this week. The individuals are accused of establishing 17 fake companies that sent out invoices to other businesses without actually providing goods and services. Reports said the accused reportedly were able to file tax refund claims with the fraudulent invoices to the tune of $1.5 million, a reflection of how B2B invoices can be used to defraud government entities, too. $276,000 was paid to one vendor of a San Diego school district that now claims the supplier never actually provided the services, according to San Diego Union-Tribune reports. It's been nearly 4 years since the school district paid the bill for an after-school program, with the district having now filed a lawsuit against the vendor in February. According to the lawsuit, the vendor agreed to provide a $150,000 check to settle the case, but the school district claims the check bounced. $388,700 was lost in a BEC scam by Shark Tank host Barbara Corcoran, recent reports said, making her the second star of the television show to recall their experience with B2B payments fraud. She told reporters that her company received a fraudulent email chain posing as Corcoran's assistant requesting payment for a real estate renovation to her company's bookkeeper. Last month, fellow Shark Tank star Mark Cuban also noted that in his early days as an entrepreneur, he lost $82,000 in an accounts payable fraud scam from one of his own employees. $144 million is the value of ransomware Bitcoin payments over the last 6 years, new data from the FBI revealed, according to recent reports in TechRadar. The FBI shared the information at a recent security conference and warned that the figure does not include losses that individuals and businesses alike face in the aftermath of an attack. For corporate victims, that means investing in revamped security services, public relations services to preserve reputation, and other operational costs. 23,775 complaints of BEC were filed with the FBI last year, recent reports from the Wall Street Journal said, with experts warning that email scammers are growing ever more sophisticated. Last year saw more than 3,000 more Beck scam complaints filed with the FBI compared to 2018 volumes, with estimated annual losses resulting in $1.7 billion in 2019. The FBI told the publication that as the Beck scam evolves, one of the more recent iterations involves a fraudster posing as a real employee and requesting the payroll department to change the bank account into which payroll funds are deposited. APIs put velocity in business payments. Initially dismissive and then distrustful, businesses mostly lost out on phase one of the instant money phenomenon. At this point in time, corporate treasurers are still more likely to have personally used a P2P app than to have sent a real-time B2B vendor payment. That just seems so last year. Digging into the March 2020 B2B API tracker, powered by Red Hat, we discover that legacy banks and traditional financial institutions (FIS) are now streaming into the open banking and API spaces with a true sense of urgency and purpose. There's catching up to do. And while there's no shortage of fresh investments or new partnerships now that B2B has widened its gaze to include APIs, there will likewise be no scarcity of dastardly types looking to break in and cash out on the trend. The latest B2B API tracker covers it all in depth. Data lights the way. Profiled in the March tracker for its expansive vision of APIs for business, HSBC believes that today's most popular uses of APIs, instant transfers and real-time everything, is just the tip of the iceberg of what APIs will deliver to banks and their customers before long. Companies are looking for simple technologies to improve visibility into their cash positions, which would enable them to better manage investment opportunities, the latest tracker states. Many have thus begun connecting their enterprise resource planning (ERP) systems with bank accounts via APIs for detailed, real-time financial status information. Plenty of business customers of different sizes are becoming interested in the technology. Relative to that, Nadia Hijazi, HSBC head of e-commerce for global payments and receivables finance, told PYMNTS, "If I, as a treasurer, can see real-time data, I am making decisions on where to sweep my money based on what my balance is now, rather than at end of day." The real-time information that APIs provide is, in some cases, almost as important as the money. It's hard to beat cyber criminals at their own game without real-time visibility into pending transactions and other vital account data, for example. Instant money only truly works over the long term with prevention methods that actually prevent theft, not find it after the fact. Along those lines, the B2B API tracker details the new effort by the National Automated Clearinghouse Association, NACHA, to create its new FICCIUS payments data sharing platform. Keeping eyes on your APIs. It's been kind of a puzzler why B2B remains a holdout on instant payments, still doing close to half of its payments by paper check last year. The best explanations are caution and inertia, and a fear of blundering with new technologies and new ways of doing things. And while their worst fears about open banking haven't been realized, issuers and processors are right to be concerned. APIs are critical to businesses' successes, streamlining internal data flows and enabling them to more easily integrate with third-party services, the report states. Such features and conveniences should not compromise security, however, meaning organizations competing in API-driven business environments must be ready to fight authentication abuses, DDoS attacks, hackers and more. Getting ahead of the competition requires adopting both advanced capabilities and robust, ever-evolving safeguards. Banking as a service takes on the underbanked SMB. There is good news, and there is bad news with regards to the path to addressing the unbanked and underbanked in the United States. The good news is that the size of the U.S. underbanked population appears to be on the decline, with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp.'s latest numbers on the topic revealing the lowest level of underbanked individuals since the survey began in 2009. The bad news, however, is that it still means 8.4 million households were underbanked in 2017. At the same time, bank branch closures appear to be accelerating, with small towns across the country losing a combined 14% of their banks between 2012 and 2017. Consumers aren't the only ones struggling to cope with the lack of a bank presence in their communities, forcing them to use expensive non-bank financial products like money transfer and check cashing services. Many small businesses, too, are struggling to access the bank products they need to survive and thrive, like bank loans and deposit accounts. In a recent interview with PYMNTS, Michael Coughlin, CEO of banking technology provider Verdigris Holdings, explored the challenge of banking the underbanked small business community. Digitization and modernization are key, yet for the regional banks and credit unions that are left in the wake of larger institutions shuttering their branches, the process is a challenge. Branch deserts. Bank closures are creating so-called branch deserts, geographic locations without a single bank branch, a phenomenon that can contribute significantly to levels of not just underbanked consumers, but underbanked businesses. We see emerging fintechs struggling to get banks, we see small businesses in bank branch deserts struggling to be able to maintain their bank accounts, said Coughlin. People are using prepaid cards, check cashing stores, money transmission for bill payment. They're incredibly expensive ways to operate, and this is absolutely the experience for many businesses as well. At the same time, ongoing shifts in customer expectations and demands mean that addressing the underbanked does not necessarily mean having to build more physical bank locations. Increasingly, end users want online and mobile-friendly solutions, with financial institutions looking closely at the broader digital landscape to understand exactly how their customers want to interact with their products. Coughlin pointed to Amazon, and even digital platforms like Tinder that can influence how a person may want to conduct banking and finance. Yet the ability for a financial institution to rise to this elevated need for digitization isn't the same for all players. I think it would be foolish to expect that small community banks and credit unions can afford to keep up with that market, said Coughlin. Regional banks, credit unions compete. While smaller banks and credit unions play an important role in addressing underbanked small businesses, they can struggle with limited resources to assess current customer demands and invest money and time into the technology necessary to meet them. We've reached an inflection point where smaller banks, credit unions, and community banks really struggle to keep up with the level of investment required to provide the high-quality digital platforms and experiences customers want, said Coughlin. This presents an opportunity for companies like Verdigris to fill the gap. The company recently announced its Verdigris commercial offering, which it describes as a banking-in-a-box solution designed for community banks and credit unions. For many of these smaller players, actually finding affordable, well-suited technologies to update their infrastructure and operations is the hardest part of modernization. According to Coughlin, once this hurdle has been overcome, actual adoption of banking as a service (BaaS) technology can be quite easy, compared to such a process occurring within a larger institution. The level of inertia that exists in major banks prevents many organizations from being open to the same conversations that smaller, more nimble banks have, he said, pointing to the ability for BaaS providers to contact a small financial institution's FI CEO directly to have a frank conversation about this process. Modernization for customers, too. Coughlin emphasized the importance of not just throwing technology at a financial institution to support its modernization initiatives, but instead combining that technology with operational support for the greatest chance of success. As more smaller financial institutions turn to third-party providers to support digitization, this coupling will be paramount. He added that open banking appears to be an inevitability as the broader financial services market continues to innovate worldwide. Yet this transformation isn't only about modernizing the financial institution, it's also about modernizing the experience for the end user, including underbanked small businesses that have historically relied on expensive and outdated non-bank products. With digital and mobile-friendly platforms key to serving underbanked populations both in the U.S. and abroad, the drive toward open banking will only be successful if it keeps the end user as the priority. We hear regulators saying quite clearly they want to be able to innovate, or work with innovators in the industry, so long as no one thinks they are going to use these innovations to get around appropriate legislation of the financial markets that protect customers, noted Coughlin. As long as they do it in a way that continues to protect the customer, then I think we're in a space where there's going to be a thousand new ideas that come out and the drive toward open banking is inevitable. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.